Call this meeting to order. The Board of Supervisors, Stanislaus County, please rise for a salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, our nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, this is the time for public comment. Does anybody from the audience wish to address this board on any item that is not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, we will go on to our consent calendar. Does any member of this board wish to pull an item from the consent agenda?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, motions made by Supervisor O'Brien and seconded by Supervisor Monteith. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion's carried 3-0. Okay, we will go to item B7, approval to introduce and waive the first reading of the ordinance relinquishing responsibility to the enforcement of mobile home parks. The staff report, please.
Good morning. Good morning, Vice Chair, Chairman DeMartini, Supervisors, Ms. Patty Hill-Thomas, Jack Doring, Sonia Herigfeld, Director of Environmental Resources, and with me this morning is Ro Barney, who's my Assistant Director, and Todd Woodward, who is the manager from our Code Enforcement Unit. Ro will be doing the presentation this morning, so we'll get started.
Good morning. I'd like to give you a brief history about the Mobile Home Parks Program here in Stanislaus County. In 1962, Stanislaus County assumed enforcement of the Mobile Home Parks from the state of California. In 2000, the Special Occupancy Parks Act was created. That governs the use of recreational vehicles camping within a mobile home program. Stanislaus County has 68 mobile home parks containing 2,778 lots. These are the state and county fees that are charged to our mobile home park operators. An annual permit to operate fee of $25, an additional $2 per lot per campsite. An additional $4 is dedicated to the park maintenance inspection program, and that is per manufactured home or mobile home on the lot. A state fee from $40 to $1,600 per park. And that is by the number of lots that are inside the park that varies the rate. This is the fee that we collect for HCD and actually get back to them. The county fees are the ones at the bottom of this table, and that's what we charge. If you authorize us to return this back to the state, these fees will be repealed along with the ordinance. Annual permit fees do not cover the county's program costs. In 2007, the county received $15,500 in revenue, but it cost $37,000 to administer the program, which left us a deficit of $21,500. The 2008 anticipated loss is $37,000, with a final county due in November. The program costs exceed revenue in our mobile home parks maintenance inspection program. This program, we have estimated costs about $195,000 to $240,000 annually. And the reason why is these inspections require the assistance from the Department of Planning and Community Development, the Department of Environmental Resources, the Department of Public Works, and state and federal agencies. These figures do not include the actual legal costs. I'd like to explain a little bit about the Mobile Home Park Maintenance Inspection Program. The $4 that I talked about earlier in the schedule is what we collect to administer this program. And so in 1990, the Mobile Home Park Maintenance Inspection Program was adopted into law and revised in 2000, mandating enforcement agencies to inspect at least 5% of their mobile home parks. And the emphasis would be on recognized health and safety issues. The inspections include coordinate pre-inspection meetings with mobile homeowners, mobile home park operators, and the rest, and the residents. Then we also have to provide informational videos and handbooks that are provided from HCD. And then we have to post the park with notices 30 days prior to the actual inspection. Then we conduct the maintenance inspections. And when we find issues that we don't have the expertise to really determine if it is a health and safety issue, we have to bring in the Department of Community Development, building inspectors, and such. Then we issue notice of violation within 10 days of the inspections, and then we abate the imminent health and safety violations within 5 days, and then conduct follow-up inspections. This can take anywhere from 6 months to a year to finally finish these inspections. Before we wanted to come before you, we wanted to hold a workshop with the different players that deal with this program. So on October 2nd, DR held a public meeting attended by 10 park representatives and the Department of Environmental Resources, Department of Planning and Community Development, and the Department of Housing and Community Development for the state, HCD. Concerns basically from the residents were focused on HCD's availability to perform timely inspections, response to emergencies, and then obtaining the permits to set these mobile homes. HCD staff verified that their field inspectors live near their assigned areas. They work from home, and they can be reached on their cell phones to answer questions and schedule inspections. HCD staff also respond immediately to emergencies occurring during normal business hours and within 24 hours to non-emergencies. After our emergencies are handled by our DER on-call staff. The permit applications are also available online or through HCD's main office. The attendees were receptive to the county's budgetary concerns, and the majority agreed the program should be returned to the state. Comments that we got have been paraphrased and include, I run 8 parks up and down the state, and I'm happy with HCD. I agree HCD has the expertise to conduct these inspections. I like the service the county provides, but I understand their budget, and it won't affect how I get permits. I know HCD inspectors, and I can call them whenever I have questions. We were concerned about the expertise from the HCD inspectors, and we found that they have construction backgrounds or have participated in a 3-year apprenticeship program, which provide training in various codes, trades, the building, plumbing, mechanical, electrical, etc. HCD works with the legislature to address park owners' concerns and adopt and rescind law. They are the only agency authorized to interpret the regulations governing mobile home parks. HCD provides outreach to park owners and groups, resident groups, to provide thorough understanding of the laws and regulations and provide workshops at annual mobile home park seminars. For us to return this program to the state, you'll have to authorize the director to notify HCD that the county is returning the mobile home park enforcement responsibilities to them. Authorize the director of the Department of Environmental Resources to return the mobile home park fees and transfer all the mobile home park records to HCD within 30 days of cancellation. HCD will then assume the enforcement authority 30 days from the date of notification. Our county staff will continue to work with HCD during this transition period and provide assistance as necessary. In conclusion, Stanislaus County is only one of 5 Northern California counties that retain enforcement responsibilities. Contra Costa, Modoc, Napa, and San Mateo are the others. And the reason why is that the program costs exceed the revenue. The mobile home park maintenance inspection program is underfunded. And the legal challenges are very expensive. One of the good things that comes out of this is that the owners will be responsible for only paying the state mandated fees, and they will be able to go to obtain their permits solely through HCD. Thank you very much. And if there's any questions that we might answer.
Are there any questions to staff?
Yeah, I have some questions. If we decided to keep this, could we raise the fees to cover our cost or the fees mandated by the state of California?
It would make it so that it wouldn't be a level playing field for our park operators compared to the other park operators throughout the state. Granted, there's not a whole lot of competition. People want to move to certain areas to live. Yes, we can raise them. But there would be, if you want to take a round figure, the $195,000 would be about $3,000 per park.
Which would probably be passed on to the residents?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
The The fee structure, basically the state of California's fees are limited, and our fees are in addition to the state of California's fees. So I just wanted to make sure that that was clear.
Thank you. Is there a minimum size that the state requires before they take over the inspections of the park, like, say, very small parks of 4 or 5 trailers? Would that still remain under the county?
My understanding is that once a park meets the definition of a mobile home park, and I believe it's 5, it's
two or more
mobile home parks.
Mobile.
Or two or more mobile homes, I'm sorry.
Then we'd be completely out of it, no matter if the park only had 2 trailers then?
Correct.
Okay. This wouldn't affect the labor camps at all. This is completely separate, isn't it?
It's a completely separate program.
Further questions of staff? And entertain a motion.
I'll move.
Second, but is there any public comment?
I don't know, is there anybody who would like to address the board on this issue?
My second stands.
A motion's been made by Supervisor Monteith, seconded by Supervisor O'Brien. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion's carried 3-0.
Thank you.
Okay, we will move to agenda item B8, approval to accept the Children and Families Commission report to the community.
Good morning. I've been given a clicker, so let's see how this works. Good morning. I'm Denise Hunt, Behavioral Health Director with the county, and I'm currently the chair of the Children and Families Commission. I might slip and call it the Prop 10 Commission this morning. It's the same commission. So good morning to all of you. We are doing a presentation on the soon-to-be-released report to the community by the commission, and joining me today is going to be David Cooper, our vice chair, and also John Sims, who's executive director of the commission. Our mission as a commission is promoting the development and well-being of children 0 through 5 in Stanislaus County. Up on the screen is the commission membership, and you'll see that we have pretty broad representation from the community and from some key service agencies. We also have Supervisor Monteith as one of our members. And I know there's at least one other commissioner in the audience, so with Mr. Cooper, could any commissioners please stand up? Thanks, and stay standing for just a sec. We also have some service contractors here with us this morning. Could you all stand up? Thanks, and you stay standing too. And last, we have commission staff with us. And yes, we're all wearing red this morning. So these are all the people, or many of the people, that are responsible for carrying out the work of the commission. Thank you all very much. So let me tell you about the commission. It was established in 1998 by Proposition 10, which was a ballot initiative, so we're coming up on 10 years now. It provided for a 50-cent tax on cigarette and tobacco products. The funding is distributed based on the number of live births in a county, and for us, that's $6.5 million a year, and that's decreasing annually. These funds are administered by an independent 9-member commission, which is the Children and Families Commission, but the members are appointed by the Board of Supervisors. And the goal or the object of all the Prop 10 or Children and Families Commission is to improve the health and well-being of children 0 through 5 and their families. I wanted to mention, too, that in Stanislaus County, the funds that are distributed based on live births, there are a little over 8,800 births annually in our county, so that works out to about 24 a day. Here's a little information about who we serve in Stanislaus compared to the state. The first line you'll see is the population. So this is the population of individuals 0 to 5 in Stanislaus County, so 54,600. And that makes up about 10.3% of our county population. You'll see that's in comparison to the state's percentage. That population of 0 to 5 is only 8.6%. So you can see we have a younger population than the state does. The second figure there talks about the numbers or the percentage of that population that's below 200% of the federal poverty level. And that's a figure that's used to figure eligibility for a variety of government services and entitlements. And for a family of four, 200% of the federal poverty level is $58,000 income annually per year. And you can see that over half of our 0 to 5 population is a member of a family that fits that 200% poverty level. The last figure on that slide has to do with the infant mortality rate. And again, you'll see that Stanislaus County is disproportionately high. So for every 1,000 infants born, 7.4 of those individuals die. That's compared to five individuals on a statewide level. So we're ahead in some good ways and some not so good ways. The thing to know about that infant mortality rate is that it's generally accepted that with adequate and appropriate prenatal and infant care, you can really make a dent in those rates. This slide is interesting, and it was pretty compelling when I saw it. Up top, that graph shows from the year 2000 to 2015 in California, they estimate an 18.31% net increase in the number of births. So that's statewide. If you look at the bottom slide, that's Stanislaus County. So for the same 15-year time period, you'll see a 50.3% estimated net increase in births. So clearly, Stanislaus County is growing, number one. And number two, we're growing with a population that has an awful lot of needs early on in life. So remember, 24 children a day are born in Stanislaus County. And another way of looking at this, in the next 8 years, we're looking at expecting another 23% increase in the number of 0 to 5 individuals today. We think, as a commission, that the county's infrastructure needs to be prepared for these births. One of the board's priorities is a healthy community. We firmly believe that a healthy community is grown through having healthy children and healthy families. Now, Mr. Cooper is going to come up and do the next few slides.
Good morning. It's a pleasure for me to be here today and take part in this annual report. I'm fairly new to the commission, but I've totally enjoyed my time, and I'm learning a lot about things. I want to go over with you some demographic information. Our first slide has to do with the total participants by type that the commission is serving. As you can see, 44.5% of those served are children, 42.2% are parents or guardians, and 13.2% are other family members. And these are unduplicated figures to the best of our knowledge. I think it's interesting to note that there were 28,000 of the 28,000 children 0 to 5 served. That represents 52% of the 0 to 5 children in the entire county. So that's fairly good market participation for the commission, we feel. We're actually seeing over half of our targeted audience. Our Prop 10 partners provided over 64,000 services to children 0 to 5 and their families. This is an interesting slide. It may be difficult for you to see, but we really felt it was important to include this because it shows the different services that are available throughout the county. As you can see, that each line that points to a particular city, those are the services that are available within that city that are part of our partners' projects in Prop 10 Commission. And these provide face-to-face services. The large box at the bottom left are countywide programs that are available throughout the county, and we go to them in many cases rather than them coming to us. But you can see that we have a really wide reach throughout the county, and face-to-face services include classes and case management, and they make up the majority of the service types that we provide. They also encourage the building of relationships and trust between participants and providers. We also have case management, education classes, support groups, consultations, phone assistance, and written information that is distributed frequently through our projects. So we have information and services provided to over 63,000 participants with over 32 programs countywide, and 76.7% of all of our services were face-to-face services, and we think that's pretty important. This next slide deals with ethnicity and race. The figures that you see represent, on the left, the orange, represent Stanislaus County. And in the yellow are the ethnicity, race of children 0 to 5 that were served by the commission. This slide is important because it shows that we really mirror the ethnic makeup of the 0 to 5 kids in our county. For example, 58.1% of the children served were Hispanic, and 58.5% of the children 0 to 5 in our county are Hispanic children. So not only do we serve a wide range of children, but it mirrors very closely the demographic makeup of our county. The next slide has to do with primary language of the participants in our county. The majority of the participants' primary language was English, but Spanish speakers made up 30.7% of the participants. The race and ethnicity and language statistics point to the importance of culturally appropriate services provided in multiple languages, and we're able to do that with our many projects. All of our projects have bilingual personnel that are able to work with all the participants who come to them for services. And now I'd like to turn the presentation over to John Sims, our executive director.
Thank you and good morning. The next two slides will give you a snapshot of the commission's finances. And this first slide is a pie chart representation of our 2007-2008 allocated budget. That budget totaled $12.2 million. And starting on the upper right-hand quadrant, the large lime green piece of the pie represents what was spent on improved family functioning. That represented about $4.2 million and 35% of our budget. And moving clockwise, you see improved child development, 19% of our budget, improved health, 27% of our budget, improved systems of care, 5% of our budget. Those four pieces of the pie represent what we call our result areas, and we account for the money that's expended by Prop 10 by those result areas, and we also account for the outcomes that are produced by the programs that operate through Prop 10 funds in the same manner. Continuing around the pie, you see administration was estimated to be 4% of the budget, and evaluation of our programs, 2% of our budget. And then finally, other programs, things like our geographical information system, the report for the community that's being published today, our annual conference for child care providers, as well as our contingency funds, the funds that we set aside for financial volatility that we're all experiencing at the present time. This next slide is a summary of actual expenses for 2007-2008 and projected expenses for 2008-2009. As you can see in the actual column, revenues were $8.9 million. And you heard earlier that we received $6.5 million from tobacco taxes themselves. The remainder of that is contributed by the state of California for programs that we operate, and they financially contribute to those programs. We had expenses of $9.6 million. That's a difference of roughly $722,000. And that was a planned decrease in our reserves. So available resources currently stand at the end of the fiscal year of $20.6 million. For 2008-2009, you see that revenue anticipation is down. Expenses show as being increased. Partially that is because we set aside enough capacity for the Children and Families Commission to make decisions on programs that had not yet been decided upon at the time of March and April when we put together our proposed budget. So in that figure are programs like the Family Justice Center or the Stanislaus Recovery Center, where programs, we have not made those decisions yet, but the budget is there in the event the commission decides to participate in those programs. You do see in 08-09 that if we expended every bit of our budget, we would be using up roughly $6 to $7 million of the reserves. We really don't anticipate that. It'll be somewhere between $1 and $2 million, we feel is the best guess at this point. But to give you some more information about the highlights of our program by those results area, Denise Hunt will continue the presentation.
So we have four results areas. The first is, and the largest, is improved family functioning. 59% of all participants were in this area. And those first two bullets on there, talking about parents reporting improved relationships with their children and children 0 to 5 receiving mental or behavioral health services, both are done by a program that, that my department contracts for, the Specialized Early Child Care Program, in partnership with Sierra Vista Children's Services. The third bullet on there refers to services by the Children's Crisis Center that provides respite child care. And the last bullet is provided through family resource centers and Healthy Starts. And I should mention that the family resource centers are situated throughout the county, and those are centers that provide a variety of services in a single spot with a number of different partners, notably Community Services Agency, and they run their differential response programs out of those. Second result area is improved health. And 24% of all participants were served here. The first and second bullets refer to the Healthy Cubs program at Health Services Agency. And that's all about getting kids access to health care. And the important piece to that, we think, is that second bullet, which is that about 1,300, almost 1,400 of those children came in without any health insurance coverage. As a result of their involvement with the Healthy Cubs program, and help getting entitlement to benefits that were there for them, they now have health insurance. So that we think that improves access overall. Additionally, over 5,000 new parents were educated about shaken baby syndrome, which is an educational program designed to prevent infant injury and death. And Commissioner Cooper is going to come back for the last two slides.
The third area is improved child development. As you can see, there were 640 children screened for educational development issues. Of those screened, 18% were referred for further assessment. Incidentally, this represents 17% of the services provided in this area. Over 1,200 parents gained knowledge on how to prepare their children for school. This was primarily through our family resource centers. And 943 early learning providers were trained to better care for their children through CARES. The last area is improved systems of care. In this area, 100% of the children served in an intensive case management program were kept safe and out of foster care. And this is a tremendous area for us, especially regarding kids who are in danger of abuse. We have some outstanding programs that work with those children. 100% of the substance abuse family education or the safe court participants obtained sober living environments. And a second confirmed report of child abuse or neglect decreased from 14% to 5% since the funding of the family resource centers. And now to finish up and add any closing remarks, here's Denise Hunt again.
Thanks. So this report coincides with our report to the community that will be coming out in various newspapers. I think it's in the Bee on Friday, is that right? And you've seen this before. This is the fifth time that we've done this report, but this format we think is pretty wonderful because if you turn it over, the second side is in Spanish. So it's in English and Spanish as an insert to the papers. At this point, we're happy to answer any questions, hopefully between me and other commissioners and staff and contractors, we can answer whatever questions you might have.
Supervisor O'Brien.
Yeah, first of all, very good report. Excellent report.
Thanks.
Question, what has the state of California budget process done to your commission this year, budgetary-wise?
At this point, the state is able to, we understand, borrow from state reserves held at the state level, principally to manage the state's cash flow issues. At this point, we don't anticipate that reaches down to county reserves, and there has been reassurance that it's a borrowing situation, meaning paying back, and there is a premium to borrowing.
Yeah.
So it would be with interest plus 10%. So that's what we know today.
Until they change the rules.
That's what we know today.
Okay.
Don't count on getting paid back from the state.
I just think it's important to note that, yeah, you do show up $14 million in reserves, but you have a long-term process of spending down those reserves because you have to fund programs and multi-year commitments. And so a snapshot doesn't really explain that, but when someone looks at your long-term plans, mm-hmm. it fully explains how you're spending down those reserves.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the most impressive parts of understanding this commission for me, was that there was a long-term fiscal plan. And a lot of the work we're doing with our contractors this year and next year is about sustainability.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
Further questions?
Comment.
Yeah, Supervisor Monteith.
First of all, I want to commend you and the committee and all the contractors. I know that you have been asked to address a very difficult, challenging area. And also, as has been mentioned, the state money situation has not been your friend in that regard. But you have been able to maintain the services, and you have constantly evaluated the services and working with your contractors, and I found that you have a good relationship with them. You also have helped and assisted them where assistance is needed and perhaps some training in various areas. So I want to commend you, and as time goes on, you'll probably have a few more challenges, but I believe the committee and the contractors are all able to address those issues, and I want to thank you and for the work that you've done and congratulate you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, your fund balance at the present time in this county is, I think different figures here, is around $20 million or so, something like
John,
that.
John, you want to join me up here?
That's correct. As of June 30th of 2008, our fund balance was $20,690,000. We are anticipating, as a result of the long-range financial plan that was referred to by Supervisor O'Brien, of spending that down over the next few years. The Commission's policy for its reserves is to maintain 1 year's worth of operating revenues in its reserves.
And that would be about $13 million?
Right around $13 million. I actually believe it would fall to less for what we take in each year of 8.9, but there will be great consideration given to how we get between $13 million and the 8.9.
Your revenue is $8.9 million, and then your expenses are $13 present time, roughly.
The actual expenses for last year were $9.6 million. We're estimating $13.5 with our, that adds in our contingency and a number of other programs that have yet to be funded.
Yeah, you have a lot of good programs here. So the state of California is what you should be watching out for, because they know that money's there. And if they do to you what they've done to us in the past there, they're going to grab that money. So it's probably prudent to spend down some of those reserves and good programs. But the state has not borrowed what they call borrowing from this county's reserves?
No. The law that was enacted in one of the trailer bills does give the state of California authorization to borrow from the state account where all the tax revenues are deposited. So our tax revenues are in that fund as well. So they have the ability to loan to themselves some of our money, which would force us to use more of our reserves in any fiscal year. I think the concern about whether we get paid back on a timely basis is a very valid one.
Oh, I'll say. I know how they operate there. In fact, Supervisor Monteith's seen it firsthand. I've seen it secondhand, and I kind of get the idea of borrowing money for them doesn't mean they're going to pay it back. Well, that's something you might have to deal with down the line. It looks like you have a lot of good programs there, pretty well run, provide a lot of services for people. It's a good report.
Thank you very much.
There's no other questions. That concludes our report.
Any further questions? I entertain a motion. Mr. Monteith?
Go ahead and move. Please move it.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made. Supervisor Monteith, seconded by Supervisor O'Brien, and we accept the Children and Family Commission's report. all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Okay, motion's carried 3-0. We'll move to correspondence.
This board has received a copy of the Protecting Communities and Saving Forests booklet from the Forest Foundation.
Refer to the Chief Executive Office, Office of Emergency Services.
This board has received a letter from the Stewards of the Range regarding the coordination authority of local governments, which allows them to have equal input into land use planning and policy matters with federal and state agencies.
Refer to the Department of Planning and Development and the Department of Public Works.
This board has received the claim as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claim and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports?
None for me.
I just would like to make a comment about our retirement system since I'm on that board, unless one of the other board members would like to take my place. It's not a fun board to be on right now. I just like to keep the public informed of how we're doing, which is not very well. We have lost in September another $125 million, which brings our losses up to $306 million for the year. And this is a very conservative portfolio, too, but it just seems like the entire broad spectrum of the market has went down from large cap stocks to small cap to foreign investments to real estate. So our board is going in session today to look at the asset allocation and the performance of the fund managers. But this has been an extremely tough year, and I know that the October report, which we will get next month, is probably will show another significant loss. Although the fund is still reasonably sound, we were at one time at 97% funded, and when the actuary does the report this spring, we will get a little better figure, but the market has just went down a broad spectrum of investments, and we are trying to address that and redistribute the asset allocation. Even a more conservative portfolio. Okay, announcements, Patty?
First, if I may just slip in a quick legislative fiscal report. Our county departments and our chief executive office are working hard on bringing to your board next Tuesday the first quarter financial report for the current fiscal year, and planning to address a number of issues primarily related to the adoption of the state budget and other county fiscal issues. At the same time, Governor will be meeting this very week with legislative leaders and has announced that he plans to call a special session of the legislature on November 5th. As you know, there was a record-breaking late state budget adopted, still out of balance. Estimates range from $3 billion out of balance to perhaps as high as $10 billion in the current year. As we know and was widely reported, the state budget did not deal with the real shortfalls in revenues, and so that issue continues. In addition, there's some significant changes going on in Sacramento, most notably the departure of the legislative analyst and her top aide. And so we see some real change coming, and not sure how that will impact the state budget situation as well. The governor is talking about creating a commission for tax considerations, a new commission that would consider a variety of issues. Discussions have been centering around sales tax and other possible changes to the state's tax structure. We are quite concerned about not only our local economy, our national economy, but also the impact of the state budget. And it's clear that there'll be ongoing changes in the current year that we'll need to adjust to as well in our financial planning. So with that, we'll bring you our first quarter fiscal report next Tuesday as we continue to stay very focused on the economy, finances, and the county's budget. And if I may make an announcement, it's our pleasure to announce this Saturday, November 1st, 2008, from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., Stanislaus County's 7th Annual Community Retreat. The retreat will be held again this year at the Stanislaus County Agricultural Center, which is located at 3800 Cornucopia Way in Modesto. This unique retreat is an opportunity to provide the public and leaders in the county's communities with a comprehensive look at Stanislaus County, its departments, programs, services, and new initiatives. And we encourage the public and our community partners to attend. Again, that's this Saturday, November 1st, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the County's Agricultural Center on Cornucopia and Crow's Landing Road. Thank you.
Okay, it's 3 days before a major election. I think that there would be a better time to do that than that. But okay, with no further business, this meeting is adjourned.